pleasure to be with you this afternoon, and we've enjoyed the morning service and the afternoon service more than we could ever put in words. It's such a blessing beyond expression to be able to come together and worship God as a people. Brother Philip is in his good preaching we enjoyed. He talked about a shepherd coming to the aid of his sheep. I think that the more we experience in life, the longer that we live, I think the more we realize how sufficient that the Lord is.
Yes.
So many times we, in our darkness, begin to doubt Him. If we were asked, we would probably say, no, we don't doubt Him. But by our actions, we prove that many times we fail. I am glad that we have a Lord who does not fail. Luke's a good place to go with. If you would like to, we'll look at the 15th chapter of Luke for a short while. The Lord is addressing some Pharisees. I think it probably is necessary that we maybe realize that all Pharisees were not the same. There were some Pharisees that were nothing more than a Pharisee. But there were some Pharisees that were the Lord's children that He loved. And yet they had gotten into this mindset that they were establishing their righteousness. And it's a horrible condition for a child of God to be in. Is to be in Phariseeism.
Right.
And friend, it's alive and well today. And I'm sad to say that it's not always someone else.
Yeah.
Christ is addressing some Pharisees, but I tell you what, He gave us the testimony, didn't He?
Yes, He did. Still.
Several things in this chapter that Christ addresses in the form of this parable. But there's two or three things that stand out in all of them. One of them is that we are faced a lot of times with situations that we cannot get out of. We're faced with situations that we do not get out of. We're faced with situations that we don't want to get out of.
Yeah.
But we're faced with the fact that we have a God who can deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And does deliver. And will deliver.
Yes.
First parable we have here in this 15th chapter. He gives the Pharisees a parable and he says, which one of you has a lamb that has gone into the mountains and he's lost? Which one of you would not leave the 99 and go after him? You know, even in nature, he's telling them that even in nature, you would leave the ones that are safe and you'd go after that one. But they wasn't as good a shepherd as he is. Because you see, when he goes after the one, he don't have to leave the 99. But he goes after the one. He goes after the one. And that's not so important to you, maybe, unless you're the one. But this one had wandered away, and he couldn't fix it. He couldn't come back. He didn't know what to do. Maybe you've never been caught up in something like that. I hope not. It's not a good experience. But if you have, there was one that's watching you. And he's not satisfied to see you perish. He knows how to reclaim you. He knows how to bring you back to him. And I'm so amazed that when in the parable he's giving them, he didn't go find the sheep and go and drive him back home. Picked him up and he carried him.
Yeah, right. Amen.
There have been times when I couldn't get back. I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the strength to follow. He carried me. The Lord is so good at dealing with us when we fail. He's so tender and yet so powerful. That's a combination that's... with natural logic, it's contradictory. But he is so tender and yet so strong.
Amen.
I think one of the most precious expressions that he gives us is when the apostle cursed and denied him and said, "I don't know the man." And Christ just turned and looked at him. Sometimes I think he's looked at me that way. Another great thing in these parables here, these three parables, is that in spite of all this, the end of it was a great rejoicing. It's a wonderful thing when one of God's children strays and comes back. It's not such a wonderful thing when he strays, but it's a wonderful thing when he comes back.
Amen.
He gave them another parable. Talks about a woman losing something. I think maybe he's speaking to us as a church. Sometimes we lose things in our church. And we need a full set. But he said that she swept and cleaned, polished. She kept working in the house till she found what it was she'd lost.
Yeah.
All of our churches, we're not perfect. Somewhere along the line, we lose things. And we can be arrogant, we can be pharisaical and say, "Well, we've not lost anything." Or we can do like this wise woman, that she examined and she found out what was lost. And when she found out what was lost, she found what was lost. And she called her friends in, and there was great rejoicing. The Lord immediately gave them another parable. You know, he wasn't easy on them that day. He gave them something to think about for a long time, didn't he? Then he tells them about there was a man who had two sons. And one of them wasn't satisfied at home. He said, give me mine and I'll go my way.
Yeah.
And the father gave him. He left. He'd not gone long until he had joined himself unto a company of folks that were his good friends. Until his money run out. I can tell you, my friend, Satan is a liar.
Amen.
And whatever he promises you, he won't give it to you. He promised this young man that the outside the rim of his father's house was a better place. That he would have freedoms, that he would have enjoyments there that his father's house did not have for him. He very soon found out that they had taken all he had. I'm telling you, my friend, you leave the church of Jesus Christ, and you'll wind up half dead between Jericho and Jerusalem, or you'll wind up like this fellow did in a hog pen, wishing he could eat what the hogs was eating. You know, his father could have went and got him out. You know what the difference between this and the sheep that was lost in the mountains? The sheep that was lost in the mountain could not help himself. He could not find his way. This son, my friend, he knew where his father's house was. And I tell you, my friend, that if God has opened up to you the promises and showed you the blessedness of his kingdom, he's not going to drive you in it. We have reason. If we distance ourselves from him, we have reason. He has given us the ability to return to him. So that father waited. He waited patiently, but painfully. Don't you know how he felt? Don't you know how disregarding all principle, that he would have immediately gone down there and retrieved his son? But he waited. And by and by, when the going just got so worse it couldn't go anymore, he said, in my father's house, my servants have plenty of bread, and they even have bread left over. And I don't know about your scripture, but there's two or three times in here that word father is capitalized, and several times that it's not. But he said, in my father's house is bread, and I'm starving. My friend, when God's children, when they depart from his kingdom and go out in the world, it won't be long until they'll be starving for something that the world cannot give them. But how gracious and how merciful is God. That however far that we stray from him, he is merciful and just says, come unto me. come unto me. Read a couple of verses from that 15th chapter, two or three, maybe more. And when he was come to himself, he said, you know, that's an expression that gets a lot of comical references to, of someone coming to their self or being beside their self. But I think we understand that he has finally come to the conclusion or the understanding that what he has been pursuing has been not real, and now he is looking things realistically, and he views his situation as such. He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called a son. But he said, if I can just be a servant. So he starts home. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father, he didn't argue that point with him, but the Father. I like the times when God would put before us the truth, sometimes very uncomfortable truth, and yet it say, but God. But the Father. How wonderful, but the Father. However short we come, what mistakes we make, but the Father. Because there's something there, my friend, that is stronger than mine and your failure. There's something there that's stronger than anything that you and I possess. But the Father, when he was a great way off, Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck. And after his confession, he says, bring the best robe and put on him. Time to change clothes, my friend. Whatever you're wearing out there is not sufficient for here. He's going to change that boy's clothes. He's going to clean him up. He's going to be fit to live in his house again. He said, bring the best robe. You know what the best robe that we have? It's that righteousness, it's that rightness that is of Christ. That's the robe, my friend, that the Father dresses you in when you come in his presence. For you have no clothing that's worthy of coming before him. He said, put the best robe on. Put a ring on his finger. Put some shoes on him. Dress him up. He's been out there long enough. Now it's time for him to look like one of my children. And then we have the other son. Isn't it so easy to be a Pharisee? Isn't it so easy to condemn someone else? This other son had been a good son. He'd been there. He'd been working on the farm, whatever they was doing. He had been good to his father. There's no doubt about it. What he'd been a good son. You know, the old Pharisee that came, that knelt to pray, he said a lot of bad things, but he said some good things that he'd been doing. Christ didn't condemn him for tithing twice a day or whatever. Christ didn't condemn the Pharisee, my friend, for giving to the poor. What he condemned him for, my friend, was his spirit of Phariseeism. And God still condemns his people, my friend, for that spirit.
Amen.
And we must have compassion. It's easy to have compassion to that brother sitting next to you. But what if that son walked in and said, "Forgive me. I'm not worthy to sit with you, but just let me be your servant." Would the compassion be there, or would it be met with such criticism? He said, "Father, I've been with you all along, and you never have made me." I'll tell you something. He killed the fatted calf. He did not kill a fatted calf. He killed the fatted calf. There's something special. There's something unique that God has reserved for those who have gone out of the way and come back to Him, maybe in thought, action, deed, emotion, however. God has reserved something a special blessing, my friend, when His children return to Him. And it's for that purpose. And it's such a special thing.
Amen.
But this other young man, he said, "Father, I've been with you all this time. You ain't never killed that calf for me." He didn't need that calf. He didn't need that calf. He said, "Everything I have is yours. You don't need that." But don't you be self-righteous and critical of this son of mine that was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. Because the Father rejoiced in it. Why do you reckon the Lord gave us those parables? There'll be times you get lost. And it'll be in familiar territory. I'll tell you a little story. Probably heard it before if you have it. Probably forgot it. It wasn't that important anyway. Where I was raised, we used to do a lot of hunting, and I knew them woods. I knew them in the dark. Went hunting one day. I got turned around. I just knew I was headed in a certain direction. But all the scenery around me was telling me that I wasn't. But I was so determined. I'm going to ignore all the evidence because I'm right. Well, I just held on to that until I walked out into a neighbor's field and I realized then that I'd been wrong. But up to that point, I was lost. And I was in familiar territory. God help us. I don't like to be lost. It's a horrible feeling. But may He help us. May we have light. May we have not have to experience those things so much. But when we are, we have one who knows where we're at, my friend. We may be lost from Him, but He always knows where we're at. And He will help us when we can't help ourselves. And He'll give us what we need to help ourselves if we can't help ourselves. But without him, we'd be hopeless, my friend. However great, however blessed you might be, if he turned from you, Paul said, without him, I can do nothing. The Apostle Peter stands and curses and said, I don't know him. Don't you know that hurt him as long as he lived? But the Lord was merciful to him too.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord that we have.